So now this is a good stage. Having done so much now, at least 14 verses of the second chapter, this is a good moment now to take stock. We are here given first important word that distinguishes between the perishable and the imperishable. This is the starting point of the Bhagavad Gita's teaching. When Sri Krishna says that you are thinking of that you ought not to think, you are worried about that which you should not be worried about. You are looking at the perishable as if with that concern which you should have concern for imperishable. This is the first starting point. You might say, if you compare it with the music, a good composer starts with a big bang in the beginning, as it were, in which many tunes are combined together, and then as it spreads out, so many other tunes begin to scatter out and develop rhythmically. Similarly, this is the first bang, as it were, given, a dong of knowledge, that there is a distinction between the perishable and the imperishable. And he said that this is what is given through Buddha Yoga. Now those who are not familiar with Buddha and Yoga, for them this is a very big stumbling block. And then Sri Krishna speaks immediately that there is one poise of Buddha Yoga which shows you the distinction between the perishable and the imperishable, but I shall now give you another poise which even while doing action gives you liberation from action. Karma bandhanat prahasyasi, by which you will be liberated from the action. And then it, Sri Krishna speaks of one basic thing, the state of equality even while performing action. As a result of which you begin to perceive what is action, what is the motive of action, what is the consequence of action, and how these three things, motive, action and the consequence, become bewildering when it is perceived by a buddhi which is not steady. Buddhi can perceive motive of action, action and the consequence under two conditions. One, when the buddhi is not steady, not stable, and when buddhi is stable. When buddhi is unstable, one very important phrase that Sri Krishna uses is, it is bahushakha. When the buddhi is unsteady, it is multi-branching. With regard to motive and action, the consequences, there are constant hurried movement which moves hither thither. Now grasping that, now grasping the other one, then going to the third, an unending movement. There's a groping and a search and hurry and hustle and bustle in which you do not know what you really want and what you want to grasp and what you want to acquire, and having acquired what you do not want further, and what you want to select, what you want to choose, and then starting building castles for the future again. It's a hurried movement of action in which we are all caught because our buddhi is unsteady. And he points out that this buddhi is unsteady because of desire. This is the diagnosis he gives, like a doctor, that buddhi's unsteadiness is because of desire. And even with regard to desire, there is a further analysis and says that the greatest reason for this unsteadiness is desire for the fruits of action. This is the main cause of the unsteadiness. The individual normally pursues means is in action already. All of us are born in action, as it were. Our whole birth movement is nothing but action. So we find ourselves already, right from the beginning, in the ocean of action. And yet we do not know what is action. How does it arise? What is its movement? What is this, what is called fruit of action? And how from action to the fruit of action, and from fruit of action to another motive of action, and again into another action, how the whole chain is a constant building up that makes you fleeting all the time. You are in a flux. It is in that flux that we find ourselves bewildered.